Welcome to Significant Women. This is a podcast that focuses on bringing out the very best in women in all walks of life, in all seasons of life, and in every aspect of life. My name is Carol McLeod, and I hope that you'll join me every week for stirring conversation about what it means to be a woman of significance at this moment in history. You know what I've discovered? It might not be as hard to live a significant life as you once thought that it was. Some weeks on the podcast, I'll be interviewing women who are trying with every fiber of their being to live a truly significant life amid the twists and turns of disappointment and challenges. Other weeks, I'll be sharing with you from my heart and from the Bible the secret to living a significant life. In today's episode, we will be focusing once again on our purpose in life. Your purpose is your why. It's why you're here. It's why you are alive at this moment in history. It's why you matter. I believe that we all have a why that has been determined by our Creator. So we don't really choose our own why, but we discover it by pursuing intimacy with the Father to determine exactly why we were made. The concepts that I'll be sharing with you today are not from my own genius, but they're extracted from the Bible. So you might want to get out your Bible or open your smartphone to your Bible app. Maybe get a pen and a pad and prepare to open your heart to hear from your Creator today. You are a significant woman indeed. We all long to know why we're here. Is there a reason or a purpose for which we've been designed? You know, it's so interesting to me that we know why we have a refrigerator. We know what a car is designed to do. We can even see gifts and talents in other people, but we all struggle with our own why. We don't know why we're here or what we've been created to do. This is not a new struggle, but it's happened almost since the beginning of creation. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, who was a prophet, struggled with God over his personal call and destiny. And I think as we study the story of Jeremiah, it's got great impact for our lives today as well. Jeremiah talks about his struggle even in the earliest verses of the Old Testament book that he wrote in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." See, God spoke to Jeremiah and said, "Jerry, I knew you. You are not here by accident or by mistake. You are here strategically by my purposes and for my plans." And I want to tell those of you who are listening today, you serve a God who is still speaking dreams and destiny to his children. And it's so important that we linger in the presence of God. It's so important that we open the pages of Scripture so that we, like Jeremiah, can hear God's voice on our particular appointment. You know, my voice actually doesn't matter. It's God's voice that matters when it comes to my destiny or my calling or my purpose. And I just want to encourage you today, you're not left out, but you serve a God who still talks to his children. He wants to dream with you. God wants to speak to you more than you want to listen to him. Think about that for a minute. Well, in our story of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and there is a word for your life as well. God has scheduled your life into the history of the world for a particular assignment. He designed you for His assignment. You don't decide your assignment, but you discover it as you get to know your Creator. You discover your assignment when you hunker down into His presence and listen for His voice. You know, one thing I've discovered about my assignments is that it showcases all of my insecurities, my weaknesses, and my shortcomings. You might wonder, well, Carol, why is that? Surely God wants to use your strengths and gifts. Well, that is true. But I believe the reason that our assignment showcases what's lacking in us is because God doesn't want us to fulfill our assignments without Him. We need His strength. We need His power. We need His wisdom in order to fulfill our why in life. You know, the same God who knew David in his mother's womb also knew Jeremiah in his mother's womb. And you know what, my friend? God knew you in your mother's womb. He had a plan for your life before you were even talking baby talk. God, your Creator, had a destiny for you before you took your first wobbling baby steps. God, the Creator of the universe and of orchids and diamonds and the Grand Canyon, placed wisdom and dreams inside of you before you ever read Green Eggs and Ham. But now, just like you and I have argued with God over His plans for our lives, so did Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1 and read verse 6. Then I said, "Alas, Lord God." So this is Jeremiah talking. And if I could just side note, coach you here for a minute, I would never begin a sentence addressed to God with the word "alas" if I were you. Can't you just picture it? Jeremiah throwing his hand up against his forehead and saying, "Alas, Lord God." Listen, when you're coming to God, you don't need to talk like that. Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm just a youth." You know, Jeremiah said to the one who created him, "I'm not a very good talker. And by the way, have you noticed the date on my birth certificate? I am not old enough to be used by you yet." Now, we've all tried that, haven't we? We've all said, "I'm not talented enough. I'm not old enough. I'm too old. I weigh too much. I've made too many mistakes. I'm in debt. I'm divorced. I've had abortions. God, have you seen how my kids are behaving? How can you use me?" And we say, "Alas, Lord God, it can't be me." Well, the good news is that it didn't work for Jeremiah, and it won't work for you either. Your excuses in life are no match for God's grand plan for your destiny. When you say, "Alas, it can't be me," God says, "Oh yes, it can. It can be you because you have me. You have my power and my strength and my wisdom and my mind." My friend, there is no human weakness or past mistake that changes God's plan for your life. There is no human weakness or past mistake that marks you as unfit for use in the kingdom of God. Isn't that great news? Jeremiah 1, verses 7 and 8. "Then the Lord God said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.'" So God said to Jeremiah, "Listen, I'm going to give you some instructions, and you're going to obey. Jeremiah, I'm going to tell you where to go, and you're going to go to those places." God was telling Jeremiah, "You listen, I'll speak, you obey." Our destiny in life, our purpose in life, always comes down to obedience. Will we obey the Father or not? Our call, the purposes and plans that God has for our human lives, depend upon our ability and our desire to obey Him completely. So before you go anywhere, before you speak anything, before you write, before you heal, before you compose, obey him. Your destiny, your purpose in life might just depend upon your choice to obey him or not. I just have the feeling that God is speaking to some of you today about obedience. Maybe he's talking to you about tithing or about forgiving somebody or about spending some time in prayer or about reading your Bible every day. Maybe God has laid somebody's name or face on your heart and he's asking you to reach out in love to them. Remember that often in life, our ability to walk out our purposes and destiny is dependent upon our desire to obey what he's told us to do. Now, I'm going to reread verse 8 to you because I love verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. I don't know what you're afraid of today. I don't know if you're afraid of the dark. I don't know if you're afraid of speaking in public. I don't know if you're afraid of the big bad wolf, but I can tell you, our fear issues are always eclipsed by his presence. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You know, the reason that we don't need to live our lives in fear is simply because he's with us. He is with you. No matter what you face in life, this promise is for you. God will be with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he has promised never to leave you or to forsake you. His presence is not dependent upon your obedience or your behavior. He's sticking to you like super glue, my friend. He will never leave you. You know, all Jeremiah could talk about who he wasn't, why God couldn't use him, and what he lacked. And all God could talk about was his plan for Jeremiah and the great things that Jeremiah would accomplish simply because God was with him. Then finally, God touched Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10a. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. You know, what comes out of your mouth is so important concerning your calling, your purpose, and your destiny. Make sure that when you speak, you're not speaking out of frustration, out of unbelief, or out of negativity. Speak God's word over your destiny. Speak God's word over your life and over other people. You know, I just love this, that to the insecure and young Jeremiah, God said, see, I have appointed you this day over nations and kingdoms. And Jeremiah probably wanted to respond, I don't see anything yet. I don't see nations. I don't see kingdoms. All I see are my knocking knees and my inability to speak. But as I said before, your destiny, your purpose is something you can't do without God, and neither could Jeremiah. God always calls an obedient child to do something that he or she is unable to do on his own. You can't do it. You can't fulfill the call of God on your life in your own talents, strength, finances, or education, because God wants it to be about him, not about you. And yet, the personal call is still there because you are his child created in his image. There is nobody alive, my friend, who can accomplish what you and God can accomplish together. So obey, quit making excuses, lean into his strength, and listen for his voice. Jeremiah 1:19. Now, this is where destiny and purpose gets a little bit sticky. Jeremiah 1:19. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You know, this side of heaven, there will be battles that you are assigned to fight, but God is with you. His presence will deliver you no matter who or what is coming against us. Just like we all have personal callings, personal destiny, I believe that we all have assigned battles as well. We have been assigned walls to take down during our earthly tenure. Some of the battles that I have been assigned to are infertility, depression, women's emotional issues, and cancer. My friend, this is what makes the hard stuff in life worthwhile and meaningful, is that it's an assignment and you're going to win simply because He is with you. Even the battles that you face are part of your earthly assignment. Let's skip ahead now to the New Testament and read what Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want to focus on this word schemes so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's Ephesians 6:11. Now, schemes is the Greek word methodia, and it means an orderly technical plan. It can be translated as cunning arts, deceit, craft, or trickery. But the devil has been scheming about your life since the first minute that you sucked in oxygen. He has been watching you and trying to figure out what makes you tick so he can come against you to potentially defeat you. But we don't fight the world's way. We fight the Word's way. And we know that because our Father has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us, that He's always guiding us in triumphant procession. You know, just like God, the Father, has a wonderful, well-thought-out plan for your life, the enemy also has a horrible, well-thought-out plan for your life. And what the enemy wants to do is to take away glory from God. He wants to make sure that you're not carrying the glory of God into battle with you. God's purpose is to show much glory through your life. God's purpose is to give you a hope and a future. The enemy has calamity for you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy your joy. The enemy's scheme is for you to live and breathe and have your being apart from Christ. The enemy's scheme is to have you reach for all the wrong things while you're living on planet Earth. Now, I want to remind you this. Not one single thing comes into your life that does not have some bearing on God's purpose for you in your own generation. That's what we learned 2 weeks ago in episode number 3. There is not one single thing that comes into your life that does not have some bearing on God's purpose for you in your own generation. God knew you in your mother's womb. He planned for you and He created a masterpiece. The enemy has schemed about your life. He wants you to lose. He wants you to experience calamity. He wants you to live an empty life, a vacuous life. But you are here to give God glory. And the enemy exists to steal the glory that the people of God were created to bring at their moment in history. The enemy doesn't want you to tell the story of Jesus with your life. When you get in a rocky stretch, he wants to steal the glory of God, and he wants you to whine and murmur and complain and blame the Father. The enemy's scheme is to get you to fall flat on your face when life is hard. But you are here to reveal Jesus with your life, even when the road is rocky. You are here to bring him praise and glory, even when you're experiencing a storm in life. You're listening to the Significant Women Podcast, and before we go any further in this conversation, I'd like to remind you that if you're enjoying the teachings that I'm presenting, you also might enjoy my most recent book entitled Significant: Becoming a Woman of Unique Purpose, True Identity, and Irrepressible Hope. Significant is the book that I was born to write, and I hope that you'll pick up a copy for every woman in your life. It's a great book to do in a book club or as a Bible study in a Sunday school class. You can buy the book Significant at our website, which is carolmcleodministries.com. You can access it on Amazon, at Target, at Barnes & Noble, or at cbd.com. And listen, if you're struggling with finding your place in life, I'd love to hear from you. I am not a counselor, but I am an encourager. Feel free to email me at carol@carolmcleodministries.com so that I can personally encourage you in your walk of faith as you discover your purpose. And now let's get back to the powerful Word of God as we truly unwrap what our purpose is in the middle of some of the hardest days of life. Let's take a minute and look at a very familiar scripture, Romans 8:28. You can all quote it with me. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want to give you what might seem like at first a very funny illustration, but hang with me. What does it take to bake a cake from scratch? Now, I wouldn't know because I have never baked a cake from scratch. I had a grandmother who did, and I remember watching her as a little girl. And okay, I'll tell you the truth. I Googled it. I Googled, how do you make a chocolate cake from scratch? You need flour. You need lard or Crisco. You need baking soda, eggs, and cocoa. Who knew that chocolate could taste so bad the way cocoa powder does? Now, any of those ingredients alone would kill you if you ate it. Isn't that the truth? If you ate 2 cups of flour, you're not going to sleep easy tonight. If you ate a half a cup of lard or Crisco, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Any of those ingredients alone would kill you. But God, who is an expert at life, at thinking about you, at planning ahead, and at making a masterpiece of your life, he takes all of those ingredients that would kill you individually, he gently mixes them together, and then he turns up the heat. And out of all of those disgusting ingredients comes a masterpiece. God has been to your future, and it is a good future because he is there and he is good, and he is spreading his goodness all over the future of your life. Now, remember, nothing gets to touch your life that is without God's keeping and plans in your own generation. Nothing is allowed to touch your life that will not be worked for your good and for God's glory. Jesus was about to be senselessly crucified. And the night before his crucifixion, he invited the 3 disciples who were closest to him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane so they could pray in that spot together. This is what Luke 22, verses 41 and 42 tell us. And Jesus withdrew from his disciples about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, If you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Let's look at that phrase, Father, if you are willing. That word willing comes from the Greek word boule that we studied in episode 3. Let me remind you what boule means. It's found in Acts 13, 36. And David, when he served the purposes of God in his own generation, then he went to sleep. The purposes of God in Acts 13, 36 is the Greek word boule, and it means plans, desires, strategies. It also denotes an imagination and a work of art. And so Jesus, the night before he was crucified, was kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, if in your well-thought-out plans and desires and strategies for my life, if you could let this cup pass from me, that's what I want. But Father, really, I don't want my will. I want your will. Jesus said to his dad, Dad, you have thought this out, and I want what you want. You know my purpose, Father. Whatever is for your purpose, let it come. Whatever is not for your purpose, could it please pass me by? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, that Jesus was God's only begotten Son. Jesus was God's dearly loved Son. God the Father loved Jesus the Son, and yet he still allowed Jesus to experience the cross. Why? Why would a loving father put his dearly loved and only son through the pain and the agony of crucifixion? Well, if I could gently tell you, the theological answer is that it's because it served a greater good. God the Father allowed Jesus to be crucified because it brought glory to God the Father. God can work anything together for good and for glory. What we view horizontally from an earthly point of view as horrible, heaven views from a different perspective altogether. Heaven sees horrible as an opportunity for a miracle. Heaven sees devastation as a moment when the goodness of God can overpower evil. Now, do you remember in Genesis chapter 50, it's pulling together the story of Joseph and his brothers. You know, remember Joseph and his brothers? He was younger than they were, and they were jealous of him, and they beat him up, and they left him for dead in the pit, sold him into slavery. And at the end of Joseph's life, Joseph looked at the middle-aged faces, at the paunches of his brothers, and he said, hey guys, let me tell you something. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Did you know that that word in Genesis 50:20 meant for evil, God meant for good, is the same word that we've already studied in Jeremiah 29:11. It's the Hebrew word makashaba. That's the word that we see, for I know the plans that I have for you. I know the makashaba that I have for you, declares the Lord. Makashaba for good and not for evil. Makashaba to give you a future and a hope. And that word makashaba means thought, device, plan, intention, purpose, invention, or artistic work. See, God can take what the enemy meant for evil, and he can makashaba it for good. God does not allow anything into our lives that he is not able to use for good. That's his plan for your life. God, our Father, he takes the schemes. He takes the conniving plans, the dastardly thoughts of the enemy, and he makashabas it for a greater good. God has done that in my life time after time after time. You know, losing five babies, holding four of them in my hand as they took their last breath. God has makashabat that for good, because now I have a faith that will move mountains. I can pray for other women who are battling infertility and stand in faith and believe for them. Almost a decade of depression. I spent my entire 30s as a depressed Christian. God took that. And now I am a defiantly joyful Christian. Now my circumstances no longer jar me, because I have experienced the joy of His presence. He uses me in my generation. He sent me to a world filled with women who were depressed. He has allowed me to speak to women who are discouraged and despondent. And He said, Carol, this is your purpose, to encourage them, to convince them that they too can embrace a defiant joy. For an event to pass God's purpose test, the purpose must exceed the pain. The enemy thought it for evil, but God reflects over it, and He knows that He can use it for a greater good, for the good of saving lives, for the good to give people an abundant life, for the good of making hell smaller and heaven bigger. It was just 5 years ago that I was battling a very aggressive strain of cancer. I was gobsmacked. I hated it. I didn't want to have cancer. But God has used it in my life. I am now brave. I never used to be brave before. And now I'm a woman of courage. And along that journey of cancer, I was able to lead doctors and nurses and cancer patients and technicians to the throne room of God Almighty. Let me say it again. For an event to pass God's purpose test, the purpose must exceed the pain. You know what? I'd rather go through pain and allow God to use it for His purpose than for a generation to go to hell. What about you? You know, I really believe this, that problems and pain make us useful because they can bring glory to God in an ordinary person's life. As we close today, I want to read to you a scripture that has become one of my very favorite scriptures in the New Testament. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. We are a generation who blesses the Lord. We don't blame God when we're going through hard things, but we bless Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you see who He is to us? He's the Father of mercy, and He is the God of all comfort. Any comfort that you will experience in your life comes from Him. Comfort doesn't come from chocolate, from your dream home, from a new wardrobe, or even from Hawaii, okay? He is the God of all comfort, and all the comfort that you need this side of heaven comes from spending time with God the Father. This verse goes on to say, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. My friend, who is better equipped to comfort a woman who's dealing with depression than another woman who has walked through depression? My friend, who is better able to comfort a woman who's going through infertility than another woman who's already walked that road? My friend, who is qualified to comfort someone who's battling cancer than another believer who has stood in faith against the arch enemy of cancer? Who is able to comfort a widow than another widow? Who is able to comfort a woman who's lost a child than another person who's lost a child. See, when we go through the hard things in life and we allow God to comfort us, it literally becomes part of our purpose, part of God's well-thought-out destiny and plan for our life, is that He would use our pain to save a generation. My friend, if you're listening today, let me just remind you of your significance to the kingdom of God. You are not overlooked and you are certainly not forgotten, but you are His. It is in belonging to our Creator and to our Savior that we find true meaning and lasting significance. Let's pray. Lord, I just come to you today on behalf of everybody who's joined me. And Lord, you are intimately acquainted with all their ways. Father, you know the difficulties that are going on in each woman's life. And Father, I pray that you would protect, that you would restore, and that you would work together for good, because it's what you do best. Father, during those crushing days of life, help us be vehicles of your glory. Help us demonstrate your love and your compassion. Lord, would you use us significantly in your plan? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, thank you for listening. I hope that you'll join me next week for episode 6 of the Significant Women podcast. And I just want to remind you that you, my friend, are a significant woman indeed.